appropriate song to play with my next guest today, because all hell is about to break loose on the page. To BBC Essex, Niccolo, I love the sound of breaking glass. My special guest today is the novelist K.J. Howe, whose brand new book called The Freedom Broker is a debut novel which centres around Thea Paris, who is an elite hostage recovery specialist, which means that she rescues hostages from the world's most dangerous locations and criminals. Now, Kim did extensive research into this book, and you can really tell. And I'll tell you what, I've got to be honest, Kim, you have kept me awake nearly every night for the last five nights reading this book, till the wee small hours of the morning.
Well, I wish I could say I was sorry to hear that.
It's always a good sign, isn't it? When I didn't want to put the book down in case something happened while I was away.
Right. No, it's great. I have found the kind of subject matter of kidnapping quite captivating myself. You know, there's over 40,000 reported kidnappings a year, and it's often not mentioned in the media, but I think it's an incredibly important issue.
Yeah, one of the things I found about the book as well, Kim, was you take us to these places, and I really feel like I'm there. Now, I'm putting that down to the fact of the research that you'd done, because you had spoken to people who'd really been on the front line of all this.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. I've had the opportunity to talk to kidnap negotiators, and their technical term is response consultant, but I didn't think that'd make a very sexy title, so I came up with the term freedom broker, and now some of them are actually using it because they think it's really a lovely one, so it's a real compliment. And these experts, as you said, go to the hot zones in the world, you know, where kidnappings take place, and risk their own life to help others come back home.
Now, I'd never read anybody quite like Thea Paris before. We're all aware of the likes of those action heroes that we see on the screen, and she's been likened very much to a female Jason Bourne by some. But in my view, I think there's more to it than that, because the one thing I found really interesting about her is that she is well-trained, she is absolutely meticulous about what she does before she goes into every mission. But she's also a type 1 diabetic. Now, my wife is a type 1 diabetic, and when I first met her, I had no idea of the intricacies of the disease and the things that have to be done. And when you've got a character like Thea, who is going in to these enormously dangerous zones and having to check her blood sugar before she goes in, that adds an all different kind of jeopardy to her, doesn't it?
Yeah, that very much so. So I'm a former medical writer, so I wrote about diabetes quite a bit. And my grandfather had diabetes, so I really wanted to, you know, include that as a tribute to him. And as you said, you really couldn't come up with, you know, an illness or condition that could create more tension than diabetes, because if you don't get your elixir, which is insulin, you know, within a certain time period, you're in very deep trouble.
Yeah, and that's what happens,
you know. Yeah, and it's also like in a thriller, it's a ticking time bomb, really.
Yeah, all the time. I mean, we're going to tread very carefully not to give too much away here, but there are times in the book when her blood sugar is either getting excessively high or excessively low, and you really feel for her because, you know, she's already in perilous situations, but this is just another thing that she has to deal with.
Well, I really wanted to create a strong female lead, but I also wanted to make her vulnerable. And she's vulnerable physically because of the diabetes, and she's emotionally vulnerable because at 8 years old, she watched her brother become abducted when he was only 12. And he did come back, but he was forever changed. And I think that I wanted to show that, you know, she was so incredibly personally invested in kidnapping because of the fact that her family suffered greatly from it, and she didn't want other families to suffer.
Yes, and her brother is a very interesting character as well. And again, not saying too much, but the relationship that the family have is somewhat strained by what has happened to her brother when she was very young and he was very young. And then, of course, her father is an enormously rich, very important man in the world of oil as well.
Yes, and I wanted to show and demonstrate that, you know, when someone's kidnapped, it's not just them that's affected. It's an entire family that's affected. Basically, whoever the kidnapper is takes the entire family hostage. And there are many ripple effects as a result. And there's a great organization called Hostage UK who helps hostages, you know, kind of reintegrate into normal life. And I just wanted to show that side of it, that it's not just as well the kidnapping time, but the after effects that really have profound effects on people's lives.
Yeah, and it's interesting too. One thing that I found myself doing as I was going was going, why on earth are these people doing what they do? But of course, it's not necessarily always money, is it, that's motivating some kidnappers?
No, absolutely. I mean, for Baird, there's a lot of political kidnaps, which are actually quite scary. And as well, there's something called tiger kidnapping. And that is, let's say a gentleman works at a pharmaceutical company and the kidnappers take his wife and children and basically extort a formula or something, you know, some sort of business issue out of the gentleman. So there's so many different ways. And also prisoner exchanges can, you know, be facilitated by kidnapping. So there's endless ideas. I was very lucky to get a 2-book deal, and I'm hoping to keep writing the series, focusing on different aspects of the kidnapping.
Well, stay with us. Lots more to talk about, Kim. It's going to be really interesting to find out where this character is going to lead us as well. But more details to come. We are talking about The Freedom Broker this afternoon.
BBC Essex Travel.
We are on a knife edge this afternoon with the brand new novel by KJ Howe. It's called The Freedom Broker. We are in the world of Thea Paris, who is a recovery specialist, helping people out of situations of kidnapping, ransoms, and a very dark world. The world you take us into, Kim, as well. We have so many different locations here. On the one hand, you know, we're sweltering in a jungle somewhere. We're on board an oil tanker. Then we're in a very plush hotel. When you're writing these things, I mean, are you writing a lot on location, or is everything done on your laptop at home?
I always visit wherever I'm writing about, because I believe that you bring sort of an essence of the, you know, environment or setting, and it's actually a character in itself. And I grew up, my father worked in telecommunications, so I lived in Africa, the Middle East, Europe, the Caribbean, and had kind of an eclectic upbringing, so I knew I wanted to write an international thriller. And I definitely spent time in Santorini, Athens, and Zimbabwe for this book, and I've also visited locations for my next one as well.
The brutality of young boy soldiers is brought to the fore in this book, and I won't go too much into why, because that's in the heart of the plot. But again, there are some moments in the book when you think, well, you know, this isn't just fiction. This is actually things that are happening.
Yes, very much so. I lived in Africa, as I mentioned, and I've had the opportunity to meet Boy Soldier, and it really touched my heart, you know, how they train these children, you know, into becoming killing machines. And I feel strongly that it's important to bring it to the fore, you know, to talk about these issues and try and stop them. And I'm pleased to say that you know, child soldiering is less prevalent than it used to be.
Yeah. And of course, we got this grandiose world as well that Thea's father lives in. And as I mentioned earlier on, he's in the oil business. But within the oil business, there's an awful lot of people who want these contracts. But her father is trying to do the right thing at the same time. He's a ruthless man, but he also wants the very best for the people that the oil deals will affect as well.
I like to write, you know, complicated characters, right? Instead of writing just black or white type people, it's nice to go into shades of gray. Yeah. I mean, there's lots to love about the father, and there's lots to hate about him too, which makes him interesting, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because I was on his side for quite a bit of the book, I have to say. And then I thought, okay. But that's that, you know, isn't it strange how you get a picture in your own mind of each character, and things happen in the book. There are twists and turns along the way. As a writer, how do you keep track of where you are and each situation? Because this is a real spider's web. There's so much going on. How do you plot something like that?
Well, you come up with the idea, and it kind of builds, and like you said, spider webs out. Sometimes I use a whiteboard, and I always try and make sure that all the characters are connected, because I feel that the plot has a lot more impact when each and every person can be connected to another one somehow. Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to give away anything either, but I'm just saying, I think you can tell after reading it, right, that there's all these connections, and some of them go back many, many years. But I think really it's just about, you know, also, it helps a great deal to, you know, create an outline and just storyboard it so that you know where you're going and where you're headed. But sometimes, which is really lovely, you surprise yourself, and then you hope the reader will also be surprised as a result.
Yeah, it's funny, actually, you should say that, because when I finished the final part of the book, and I thought, oh, now I should have got that from a conversation in the first few chapters. And it wasn't until the end that I realised, and I thought, that's all about the plotting, isn't it? That you give a little hint somewhere, but it's always very subtle, isn't it?
Well, I think what's key is you want it to be a surprise, but when you hear the surprise or read the surprise, you want it to be inevitable, right? Yeah. Like, oh, I should have gotten that, instead of like, wait a second, what was that, you know? And as long as it's understandable and inevitable, then I think you've done your job.
Yeah, I think as a reader, we all get a bit jaded with that, oh, surprise character comes into the third act.
Right, you know, exactly. It's an act of God, so to speak, right? And there's no way you could have predicted it. No. That would make me throw the book against the wall, for sure.
I wanted to also talk to you about Thriller Fest, because you're the director of Thriller Fest. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. So every July in New York City, we have a conference, and any thriller fans, you would love to come to enjoy this one. So 1,000 like aspiring authors, thriller writers, and enthusiasts come to New York City, and we celebrate the genre. And this year, we were very lucky to honor Lee Child as our Lifetime Achievement Award Thriller Master. And next year, we're going to be honoring George R.R. Martin from Game of Thrones. So wow. It's the place to, like, if you are a fan of thrillers, it's the place to be. We basically get, you know, the creme de la creme of all thriller writers joining us every year. And it's a lot of fun, very friendly, professional conference.
It's an exciting time right now. There are so many great names out there, and quite a lot of them are on the front cover of this book, actually, I noticed, Kimmy. I mean, you've got comments from the likes of Lee Child and James Patterson, Clive Cussler, Peter James, Lisa Gardner, Kathy Reichs. I mean, they've all read your book. How important is it to have those comments on a book from authors of that standard?
Well, it's a huge honor, and I think it's really quite important, especially as a new author, because, you know, if people are going to spend their hard-earned money on a book, they really want to feel like the investment's worthwhile. And I think if you don't have any brand name or any, you know, kind of track record, they need to rely on something. So thanks to all these incredible authors who took the time to read my book and give me a lovely blurb.
I know you've written in the past anyway, but to say this is your debut novel, I have to say I found that quite staggering, because it is such an accomplished piece of work, you know, and it struck me that there was certainly a feeling, and again, not giving anything away, you can tell I'm walking on eggshells here, but I get the feeling there's going to be more of these, and indeed, have I heard a rumour of maybe this movie at some point as well?
Well, yes, I'm really excited, and thank you for your kind words. I got a two-book deal, so Freedom Broker will be followed by Skyjack, and I bet you can guess what happens in that book. and then I'm hoping, you know, if people enjoy it, that I'm going to continue writing the series. I'm already starting the third book now, and it's going to be centered around journalists who are kidnapped in Jordan. Right. And so I'm very excited about that. And basically what I do is I keep meeting with all of my experts and diving into the topic and learning everything I can about the subject matter of kidnapping, so that I get fresh ideas that I can use for future books.
I suppose really, as an author who you're writing about things that are going on all the time anyway, history is almost overtaking you sometimes, isn't it? With events that go on, you must have a point where you think, oh, I was going to put that in my latest book, but it's already now happened.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be careful, don't you, really? Yeah. Because if things, the world is shifting so incredibly quickly. So I think what you need to do is just pick your topic and write fast. <You know? laughs> But it does take a year, you know, to put a book through production. So you do, you're kind of on tenterhooks, like waiting and hoping that nothing, you know, happens. But kidnapping is definitely, you know, a very topical issue. And it's sad because terrorists are turning to kidnapping for fundraising. And in third world countries, military and police are displaced, and they have no way to put food on the table for their family, so they turn to kidnapping as a way of making a living.
Yeah, yeah, it's really frightening, isn't it? And certainly you do bring the world to life. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show this afternoon. Would you come back on and chat when Skyjack comes out?
I would be absolutely honoured, and thanks for your kind words about the book. I'm really happy you enjoyed it.
I really did. Thank you so much. KJ Howe, my special guest this afternoon. The Freedom Broker is out now, and I really recommend it. It's a great book to take with you on holiday, as well as all those locations in there. There's nothing like lying on a beach and going on a journey with a great book, is there? And that's what I recommend for the summer.